You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
I think I say this every time this song plays. This would be my walkout if I was a pitcher. Right before my inning in like the eighth. Little Pantera walk. Now if I was a hitter, this could not be my walkout.
What would your walkout be?
Oh, are we going to play this game?
Yeah.
All right, let's play it. I'm going to give it to Darius. You got to say something while I give it to Darius.
All right. My walkout was the same forever. Every time they're like, do you want a walkout song? I said, yes. They would say, what is it? Imperial March from Star Wars, man. That's what I walk out to. Everyone's like, oh, what's Danny going to pick? Is it different this time? Nope, it's the same. That's what I come out to. When the ship opens and Darth Vader rolls out, that's me.
I don't like that for you.
Try that again. It fits perfectly. That's exactly
what
I mean.
Don't get me wrong. You're a Star Wars guy. But I feel like the Star Wars Danny. Here we go. Ready? Now batting for the George Washington
Revolvers? Revolution?
I'm going to say it because it's back in the day. This is
hypothetical
from the 90s.
Please.
Nobody get upset.
This is what it was.
Please, God. I've got mouths to feed. I've got children at home.
Grant's car's getting towed right now.
I'm going to say something terrible. Everyone just let it go. Now batting for the George Washington Colonials. Number 14, Dan Rouye.
Oh, the crowd cheered? No, they didn't. They didn't care. Get the sign. Stretch a little bit. Fix the gloves. Tap the outside corner. Tap the inside corner. One towards the pitcher. Two towards the pitcher. Loose hands. Flex. Relax. Deep breath. Tank. Not a tank. I'm joking.
That'd be number 40 in your career.
I'm joking. It wasn't a tank.
I got number 14 right, didn't I?
Nailed that, by the way. Thank you.
You sleep on my
Dan. Thank you for noticing that.
And I called you Dan, not Danny.
Good intimate details right there.
I would have also pointed out that you had a goatee like you were 50, but I'm leaving that one on the table.
It was the 90s in baseball. That's what we all did.
That's a good point.
Like
the 90s was such a goatee era.
Yeah. Part of it, we weren't allowed to have beards. We had to be clean shaven. If we had a nice little streak going, we were allowed to grow some facial hair. That was the maximum we were allowed to grow.
All right, Danny, you have to introduce me to the batter's box. Do the Yankees guy used to announce Derek Jeter back in the day?
Now batting. Center field. Grant Paulson. Paulson. Center field.
I don't like our chances to track many balls down.
I put you in center. You didn't like that?
I steamed up. More of a second baseman.
Harrison
probably.
Bader Paulson out there?
I don't know if I have the. I got center blocks for feet at second. Me and Luis Garcia. So a little Lupe superstar is what I'm going to walk up to.
Okay.
So here's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I walk up.
Uh-huh.
First inning, I'm obviously batting leadoff. You guys know that.
Leading off, second baseman.
Where else would you put a guy that hits 211 and gets on base at a 156 clip? I'm going to tap the catcher's knee pads.
Oh.
Like his
like you guys are buddies.
Yeah, his shin guards, I'm going to say. What's up, catch? I'm going to tap the ump on the ass. I'm going to give him a little hit on. Don't screw this up or we'll go to the robots. Do your job. One time, do your job right.
Grant Worth over there.
And he tosses me. I haven't even gotten into the box yet.
He ran your ass because of that.
He ran me. Now I'm going to
tap. Hey, I warned him before the series started. I did. No. Hey, don't touch me on the buttocks. I told him.
So here's the bit. I walk around.
Yeah.
Right-handed batter's box, first base side. I say, hey, Blue, how you doing? Good evening, sir. Stand in, tap the catcher shin pads. I do a little cross on home plate because I can't do this on my own. We need some intervention.
Take the wheel here.
That's right. If it's just me against 94, it ain't happening.
Jesus, take the fastball here.
The good Lord willing, we're going to run into one. We're going to tap that cross on home plate.
I'm going to get the head out. Jesus, maybe run into the slider a little bit.
Back over our back shoulder. I'm going to do a Tony Batista. We're going to wiggle it in front of us side to side, kind of come over the top right in front of me, and then lean on in over that plate. I'm going to stand on an inside edge. Only way we're getting on is getting plunked. We're standing right there.
Little left elbow guard.
Absolutely.
Little leak out, knoblock style.
All right, Darius, you're next. What's your walk-up song?
All right, who's going to introduce me?
I got you. Are you ready for it?
Here we go.
Wow, he's already ready. Now batting, number 53, Darius Dameron. Left fielder, Darius Dameron.
53? Come on.
That's a silly number.
22.
Are you 22?
22 is my go-to number.
I kind of have that one retired for the moment. Deuces at Nats Deuces. Park. I'm not giving that one out for just anybody, but we'll give it to you. You got to make a play. Number 22, Darius Dameron.
So I'm walking up. I'm going to do the Adam LaRoche bit where I like spin the bat around a little bit and then point it at the pitcher.
Oh, dude.
Let the pitcher know I'm lining him up a little bit here.
Darius Tomei over there.
Yeah.
Now, are you pulling on the front? Are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm right-handed. Right-handed.
Okay. Yeah. So you got your left shoulder toward the pitcher's mound.
Correct.
Are you pulling on the left sleeve, like back toward your collarbone?
Oh, of course.
And now is the bat pointed at the pitcher or is the bat up toward the sky?
So it's going to be more towards like the batter's eye, let's say.
Yeah, because you can't, if you point directly at the person, that's a fastball in your cheek.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Like Ichiro had the bat pointed up. Tomei kind of pointed up as you would, grab the yunk.
And I'm not wearing the stupid helmet that has like the flap to protect your cheek.
The Kevin Seitzer.
I don't want to give the pitcher the opportunity to do that. So yeah, I'm going to point at the batter's eye.
But you're here to hit bombs.
Course.
Wow.
I'm going deep drive, right bottom field. Half of the ball. Let's go.
Let's get after it. All right, Rhino. Ryan Clary's time to get to the batter's box.
Well, my song would be House Party by Meek Mill, which I did do in high school, but we're going to go with something a little more PG rated. Darius?
Now batting number 11, Ryan Clary.
Third baseman.
Oh, third baseman.
Here's what I
Anybody else wear number 11 play third?
Jerome Hreska, give it to him. All right. Named Ryan, by the way.
Now batting, third baseman, number 11, Ryan Clary.
I get so psyched. That was my dream as a kid. You guys have no idea.
You dreamed of being a big league ball player?
Of course I did.
Oh,
you're the only one.
I thought he was saying he dreams of getting his name called by Jerome Hreska.
That'd be silly, too. I just love the idea of I was dreaming of this as a kid. You don't say.
I know. But still, it was the Ryan connection, wearing number 11, playing third base. So this is what I'd do. As a little leaguer, I'd go up. I'd walk around. So if we're in the first base dugout, I'm in the righty batter's box. I'd walk around home plate. So behind the ump, behind the catcher.
Yeah, that's what we're all doing. Yeah.
There are some guys go through. I go around.
I'm a big around guy.
And then right foot into the box in the back corner. I'm always in the back. Doesn't matter how fast or how slow that pitcher is. I'm in the back corner of the box. I tap the right side of the plate and the left side of the plate, and then I do two little bat wiggles. Get ready. Arms up. Ready to hit.
You're not addressing the catcher or the umpire?
I was not.
Wow.
Sometimes I give a little salute, just kind of like a little, I notice you.
They don't
you.
Exist. They're not part of my process.
Whoa, Danny. Hey. So I don't remember. You'll have to remind me. Ryan played softball with you.
That's right.
Is he hitting tanks?
Anyway, no, I'm kidding. No.
He got better as the year went
on.
No,
he definitely did.
He was crushing the ball.
I stunk at first, too. It's different. It's just weird if you've never done it before. So he struggled at first the same way I did.
Ryan hit two bombs over the fence. That's all that matters.
Right by the end. Consecutive pitches. Tank pieces.
400 feet.
Backspin.
We'll take it.
Lasers.
So that is, you guys were wondering. We've had a lot of emails coming into the show. I got at least 15 messages on Instagram yesterday. Hey, what songs would you guys come up to and how would you go about your at-bat before the first pitch? And I was like, don't worry, 5 o'clock tomorrow, right in prime time when everyone's in traffic.
We'll set up a football segment and then do that.
We'll send to 10 critical show minutes. getting to the bottom of it.
Well, you know where all the emails actually are? Your work email. Like, that's where all they come in when people want to know, what would you guys come out to if you were baseball players?
I thought
players?
You were going to say they're printed and they're in my trunk, which is right now on its way across to Southeast D.C. behind some tow truck. Someone should be monitoring outside the window, because that would actually be fun. If we see my car being towed out of here, just to watch me like a scene out of Tommy Boy, huffing it behind a tow truck down Half Street, trying to stop the guy.
Oh.
Which, by the way, tow truck drivers, I'm sure they like that. No one's ever come up to them while their car's on the back like, hey, man, I'll give you some money. Can I get my car off there?
You know what? For you, absolutely.
You're the first person to ever ask, so why not?
You think anybody's ever offered a Dick's Sporting Goods card to one of those guys?
D.C., I'll say no. West Palm Beach about a week and a half ago, definitely. I think that probably happened in West Palm Beach.
That is an actual event.
Yeah. These things did occur.
Like, you guys were so nice to pick me up at the airport, and like as I'm putting my seatbelt on, like, you'll never guess what happened. My car almost got booted, and we gave him a Dick's Sporting Goods card, and the whole thing. I'm like, whoa.
There was a lot.
Right away.
Well, that was an hour before we picked you
up.
Yeah,
that was the story.
I mean, we were still kind of spitting hot venom. Your wife couldn't believe we picked you up at like 1:30 in the morning. She's like, you guys went and picked him up? Why'd you do that? I was like, we just couldn't. A, we're still shocked he's coming. We want him to feel comfortable. We want him to have fun. We want him to feel like he's one of the crew here.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to really kick off. We wanted him to be as happy as possible. Kick off the weekend in a good mood so that you'd try to have fun while you were there. I think it worked.
Yeah, it was really nice.
It was a great trip.
It was legit nice.
Everybody had a good time. All right, to the mission at hand.
Thank you. Quit wasting time, you guys. You know what you did.
Well, Darius was over here trying to tell the pitcher he's about to hit a comebacker right at his melon. I didn't see that one coming.
He pointed right at the guy.
What should the Commanders plan for the draft if, in fact, they don't make any more moves? So today they go get Cornelius Lucas. He's penciled in as their left tackle. Obviously a major need. They've added two cornerbacks, Igbinoghene over the weekend and then Davis yesterday. Both are more depth than starters, so they probably need a corner. Everything else you'd make the case, you know, they get better. They add a starter potentially at a position where they currently have someone that could start, but not major areas where they've got to go get a starter. So 236 and 40. Danny, how are you doing it if it falls your way?
If it is up to me, round number one, quarterback, we know that. Round number two, in some order.
Real quick,
yep.
You stay at two and take one,
yes,
or you
I do.
Move back?
Stay at two, take one.
Patriots call. They say you can come back to three. We'll give you some decent value. Still not interested?
Interested.
You still get Daniels or May?
Interested. Interested, but it's got to blow my socks off.
So you're probably just staying.
Probably just staying at two.
Okay. And you're taking Daniels.
Stay at two. I take Daniels. Pick 36. I take a left tackle. Pick 40. I take a tight end. And I walk back and I high five everybody. And then I keep going around and high five everybody again. It's a league of offense. I'm trying to address my offense. That's the best thing I'm doing there. And again, it all depends on how the draft goes. It all depends on where the running position is. It all depends on, you know, who's around, et cetera. They've taken the pressure off with this offseason, in my opinion. So if you don't solve every need, there are a couple that have to be solved. I think left tackle at some point, even if it's a veteran after this initial round of free agency, just as a stopgap because they can't find someone they love in the draft, you got to do that. The two have-tos are quarterback and left tackle. Everything else, if they don't do it, okay, you're not great this year. You weren't going to be great anyway. If you get a great cornerback in the draft, you're not a 12-win team. If you don't get a great quarterback in the draft, you're not a 12-win team. Like this is, we're very much in a process here. So to me, the two have-tos, I would love to get done. If it doesn't work that way, we're fine.
At two, I'm staying put. I'm taking Drake May. If May goes one or whatever, then you know we can reassess at the quarterback position. But ideally, I'll take May. I'd be fine if they take Daniels. But quarterback at two. 36, I'm going tackle. Best available, best on the board, starting left tackle, hopefully. I actually think there's a chance that you're going to have a hard time finding a starting left tackle at that spot. And it's probably more someone that should be playing right tackle right away. The problem with that is Andrew Wiley ain't swinging over to play left tackle. But I'll take the best tackle at 36. At 40, now we're at BPA range, like through and through there. I'm just looking for value that fell. But for the sake of the conversation, I will take a wide receiver at 40. I think this is a really, really deep wide receiver class. And if you look at the best receivers in the 24 class, I think there's going to be upwards of a five, maybe six, if we're really surprised, that get drafted in the first round. But I think after your big boys, so that is Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Brian Thomas, you know, those types, I think it, in the 40 range, you know, maybe you can get Troy Franklin from Oregon if he falls, or Ricky Pearsall from Florida, somebody like, I think Ladd McConkey from Georgia is going in the first round. But like one of those guys, I'm taking another wideout to pair with McLaurin and Dotson, and giving the rookie quarterback, Mayer Daniels, another weapon. I think this draft, Danny, at 67 or 78, you can get a tight end who's probably not that different. Now, Jatavion Sanders is the one guy that I really love who's a big weapon, but he's kind of stiff. Like, I like him, don't get me wrong, and I would have to consider him at 40, but I don't know if the gap between him and the tight ends you can get at 67 and 78 is that big to pass on if you love a wide receiver and you can get a guy you think has a first-round grade at 40. So I'll say quarterback, tackle, wide receiver, you'll notice a theme.
For both of us, pretty similar.
Yeah.
Protection of weapons, thank you.
Let's go to Larry in the Plata. Larry, how would you go about the draft?
Guys, what's your assessment of this? I would take a quarterback at number two. I would trade 36 and 40 for the highest first-round pick that I could get and draft the tackle, hopefully, in the first round. If I can't get a first-round pick with 36 and 40, I give up next year's number one and a third-round pick to get a tackle in the first round. This is pretty much what the Houston Texans did last year when they traded to get two first-round picks. That's the way I would go. I'm just interested to hear what you all think.
So I love the idea of the two first-rounders for the one commodity that you need, want, you want it solved, solidified, et cetera, getting that extra fifth year for a first-round tackle. I don't love future compensation for this part of the build. If this was a championship contender, damn the torpedoes. I don't necessarily care about the year after. I'll kind of keep rolling that forward and you know, paying the piper on credit. But if I'm still in a building phase, I don't necessarily love trading away a future draft capital. That's my philosophy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm just looking at the draft value chart right now to give him an idea. So 36 is worth 540 points. 40 is worth 500 points, so that's 1040. That is the equivalent of basically the 15th pick in the draft. So let's say they trade 36 and 40 to Indianapolis, or you know who might do it, like at 14, New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans, who has cap problems. So you don't have to pay a first-rounder. Now you get to pay two second-rounders. So let's say they could move up to 14. I think there's an outside chance they could get Olu Fashanu there. Now, a lot of people think he's going to be long gone by then, and they're going, oh, you're crazy. Just know that Daniel Jeremiah, in his mock draft that came out today for NFL Network, had Olu Fashanu of Penn State going 14th overall to New Orleans in that spot, because he had Williams, May, Daniels, McCarthy, 1 through 4 with the Vikings straight up. Then he had Harrison going 5 and a run on receivers with Nabers. He had Joe Alt to the Titans, which makes some sense as a tackle. Dallas Turner, the edge, to the Falcons makes a lot of sense. Adunze to the Bears at 9. He had Oregon State offensive tackle Fuaga at 10 to the Chargers. So let's say that's Fashanu, fine. Then you might get Fuaga at 14. But my point is, I would do that in a heartbeat. Just like that. Done. 36 and 40. If I told you they could go up to the middle of the teens at 13, 14, 15, and they would only do it, obviously, if the tackle's sitting there. But like Fashanu from Penn State is there, you're starting left tackle right away, or Fuaga, I will be singing Adam Peters' praises again. Tell me you wouldn't do that. I would love that.
I would do that. I mean, I would do that even for a pick in, let's say, around 20, for the sake of argument, to end up with J.C. Latham, if they like him, the kid from Alabama. Like, to me, when you deal from a position of strength, you can overpay a little bit, right? I mean, think about it in terms of like a poker hand. If you and I are playing no limit, you got a small stack, I got a big stack, right? You and I can do battle. I can afford to take more chances than you because I've got more capital in that regard, right? That's where you'd be dealing from if you have extra picks in that way. You've got all the salary cap space. You've got all the draft pick compensation. They're not worth as much to you. Does that make sense? So you can pay a premium if you want to. You can outbid competitors.
I'm looking at the rankings among tackles right now to try to figure out how many go in the first round. To respond to that, yes, I would probably do that for like 19, but I'd be way less excited. I probably wouldn't. 36 and 40. I could do 36 and, you know, a later pick or two, maybe for 20. But I think if I'm trading 36 and 40, I want Fashanu from Penn State or I want Fuaga from Oregon State. I want one of the three best in the country. I think as you get back to the J.C. Latham category or Mims from Georgia, Barton from Duke, maybe those guys are available at the top of the second round. One of them maybe.
Could be, yeah.
At least. 800-636-1067. Your blueprint for the draft's what we want to know on Grant and Danny. Jets signed wide receiver Mike Williams. I like that addition for them, giving Aaron Rodgers another weapon. Williams, the longtime Charger, Danny. Nobody better in terms of going up, making contested catches way downfield. Somehow, he's only had two seasons with nine or more touchdowns, and otherwise 1-4-5-2-0 touchdowns. I know he's been hurt a lot, but like 13 games, just four touchdowns season before last. 16 games, nine touchdowns the year before that. I kind of view him as he should have 1,010 touchdowns if he plays 14 games every year.
The idea of him is intoxicating.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you look at someone that's that big, that strong, that fast, that physical, that able to make those contested catches, and you're right. He should get out of bed, have 1,200 yards, maybe not that much, 1,050 with 9 or 10 touchdowns every year. It just hasn't happened very consistently for him.
6'4", 225. But he's going to the Jets. I saw that they were shopping former Packer Alan Lazard. They were shopping him, and I want to say he's still there on the back of their depth chart. That was an Aaron Rodgers GM move. But they're looking to move on from him. So it's going to be Mike Williams, Garrett Wilson, probably X Gibson in the slot, Hard Knock star who had the big punt return in week one last year. And then they've got Lazard down the depth chart with whatever they do in the draft.
Sure, Randall Cobb again will come back, you know?
Exactly. But Rodgers has plenty of weapons if he could stay healthy. They went and helped him on the line. Tyron Smith at left tackle. Morgan Moses at right tackle. New guard from Baltimore, John Simpson as well. So they have three new starters on the O-line, which was their bugaboo. Got their quarterback hurt and was just a problem for them all year long. I still think they should have a better tight end for him. Conklin and Jeremy Ruckert is fine, but man, would I like to see Rodgers with a big-time tight end.
It is, yeah. What an intriguing thing, by the way, right? When the entire operation's about one guy, he lasted 14, 15 seconds, and they still, you know, fought and muddied along and, you know, were okay. But, yeah, this makeover probably should have happened last year.
He's not going to be the vice presidential candidate, right?
I don't think so.
The independent ticket?
Yeah.
That was the big story last week. I don't know if you were here or not.
I thought I was, like, still in some kind of stupor.
Right when you woke up from
surgery. Yeah, I was like, hey, buddy, you're waking up, and it may be A-Rodge. I'm like, what?
Craziness. All right, how would you go about the draft? So both of us are taking a quarterback at 2. You're ride or die for a left tackle at 36. That's the goal?
I would love that. Again, if the board drops that way, then yes.
This is in a hypothetical where the board falls how you want
it. Give me tackle, tight end.
I'll go tackle, wide receiver, 36 and 40. Kevin in Arlington, what's up, brother?
Hey, brother. So I've been thinking about it. Let's say they want JJ. Couldn't they drop down to 4 with Arizona and then with take JJ, but also whatever they would get to let Arizona come up to 2 to get Marvin Harrison Jr. or whomever? I think you would then have the draft capital with the second round assets you have to get that stud left tackle, because without a doubt, other than quarterback, the most glaring need on the roster is still tackle. I love Big Luke. He's a nice swing tackle. I think Danny gave him the Ty Nasecki Award earlier. But we are so bad at tackle, it scares me. It's just
This is what's scary, so Kevin. You can keep going, but to remind everyone, like, we're talking about left tackle, left tackle, left tackle, because they don't have one at all. They have right tackle plan is terrible. I mean, they have a right tackle who gave up almost 10 sacks last year.
I know, and it concerns me why Wiley is still on the roster when the other guys were let go, but probably because they simply don't have tackles. But it's I think they're going to have to get creative, and they may have to trade more than they want to get into a position, but they've got to go get a tackle in the middle of the first round. There's no doubt about it.
Appreciate you. Yeah, so if they're able to spin back to 4 – let's say in Kevin's scenario, they like McCarthy the most. They're having dinner with him tomorrow or whatever day it is. So, of course, let's all read into that. But let's say they do. They like him best. Totally fine. You could probably get him at four. And if you can't, then you get either Daniels or May at four, right? That's just how the math is going to work. So you'd pick up a little extra ammo to then be able to maneuver around the board to maybe get back into the first round to get that tackle that we're all kind of talking about. But it's going to require some maneuvering to get. It's not to say that no second rounder has ever turned into an NFL starting caliber left tackle or been really good, but again, we're talking likelihood. That's one of the premium spots. Those guys usually come first half of the first round.
McCarthy's pro day is Thursday, 2 days from now, which tells me Dindin's going to be tomorrow. Probably.
Wednesday night.
And who knows? If they love him, maybe they'll want to dine him a second night in a row. Maybe they get to go to dinner with him as he celebrates his pro day on Thursday. I would rather take a quarterback at two. Obviously, I don't need to repeat this. We've said it over and over and over again. And I may Daniels over him, sure. But if they're really big on McCarthy, that would work out beautifully. Because just going back from two to four, they would get a lot. Not as much as you could going like 2-8, 2-10, 2-12. But 2-4, you're adding a future one potentially. Or you're adding like a two this year and a four, let's just say, or something like that. And if you do that, then to Kevin's point, you can definitely package 36 and 40 to go up, or maybe it's 36 and 51 or whatever you got back and move up the board. Because now you still have a second rounder, so you get the quarterback at four, McCarthy. You better be right. You get the tackle later in the first round with the two twos that you package, and then you still pick again in the second, and there you go with tight end, receiver, you know, whatever way you want to go. Maybe corner, which is their second biggest need. Paul's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Hello, Paul.
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing, Grant and Danny?
Good, buddy.
Chilling, man. Good to talk to you.
Man, I'm like this. At quarterback, number two, I don't care if it's Jaden Daniels. I prefer Jaden Daniels over May, but if it's May, I can live with that. And if they have an interest in J.J. McCarthy, I'd definitely say drop down to at least five. But with 36 and 40, I'm getting two tackles. And, yeah, I understand the whole concept of moving up and getting a higher-rated tackle if need be. But just like Grant was saying earlier, we need two tackles. We need a left tackle and a right tackle. And we need to get back to where we're playing the style of ball that whoever's back in that quarterback position or that running back position, they're going to have holes to run through, and then they're going to have time to pass whoever it is. And I think that's been the problem. We've been too busy, you know, relying on talent at skill positions, but not valuing the offensive line.
That would be an aggressive and bold move, Paul.
Thanks,
appreciate
Paul.
You if they went tackle, 36 and 40. But I'll tell you, I'm here for it. I wouldn't have a problem with it because assuming they like someone to start on the left side, now you have a new right tackle who's cheaper than Andrew Wiley. Wiley then becomes the super utility. You could play him at right tackle. You could play him at either guard spot. I don't think they're cutting him because they don't really save any money.
No, it's a $7.5 million dead cap hit, but they'd save $1.5 million. No, thanks.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You're better off at 1.5 having him back up three positions. But would it stink that you don't upgrade other areas of need? Yes. But if you get better at right tackle and better at left tackle, what better way to help the number, in this case, two overall pick or four overall pick, your young quarterback? There's no better way. Now, he suggested trading back potentially to five. There is a chance that McCarthy's gone at five. I am currently predicting, and I don't know anything. I'm just a boy. But I am predicting four quarterbacks in the first four picks. One, two, and three, I think, are almost locks to be QBs. That's Williams, May, Daniels, in whatever order, Chicago, Washington, New England. The fourth pick is Arizona right now, non-quarterback. I believe the Vikings trade up to four with 11 and 23 and take J.J. McCarthy there. If the Vikings don't, I think Denver or another QB-starved team like the Raiders absolutely could. So I think if you move back to five, you probably, not probably, you could miss out on McCarthy. It would be, to me, moving back beyond four is off the table. I have to get a QB. You can only do that in those first four spots. With this one caveat, if their board says Penix is awesome and they really like the lefty from Washington and they think that he can be a franchise quarterback and he's the same, he's number two on their board, let's say, and he's the same as the other guys, then you could probably move back 5, 6, 7, 10, 11, wherever you want to, first half, the first
round.
Yeah,
you trade with the Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You could get 11 and 23, go get Penix at 11. Now you get your tackle at 23, and then you still have 36 and 40, and you've now added another pick, so it's 6 in the top 78, 7 in the top 100. That's only if Penix is even on your board with all those other guys. Gus, Arlington, what's good?
Hey, guys. I think we're being too cute about it. I mean, I don't think we can go back and hope that the players we want, you know, end up later in the draft.
Agree.
Other teams are going to want those players as well. We're lucky that we're in a draft where the highest-rated players are quarterbacks, with the exception of Harrison Jr. Do you take your quarterback at number two? You don't play cute and try to hope that, like, a Penix is this all-set that no one else knows about, because other teams have smart GMs too. What I want to see what happens with this regime that didn't happen under Rivera. Rivera never traded up in the first three rounds throughout his whole tenure here. He just got all gloated about trading down with Dotson in order to get Howell and all those picks. We had to maneuver our picks. So I expect Peters to maneuver and do things like the combining picks to move up into the first round to get that left tackle, because there's only a couple left tackles that are worth starting week one.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, to me, like, in general, if you ask me on a binary, do you prefer trading up or trading back? It's trading back in general, right? If you ask me, is it worth it to trade up? Most of the time, it's not, especially when you're trying to go for it on like a long snapper in one of the mid rounds. But there are certain times where, and the key is to knowing when those times are, where it is worthwhile, right? It's against the usual logical chain. It's against all the analytics. It's against all the economics. It's against the normal external factors that govern these things. But every once in a while, you got to counter bet, do something a little bit out of the ordinary. You never know when that time is.
Eric at Home, NFL Media, coming up top of the hour in 20 minutes at 6 o'clock. Who does he think Washington should take it to? What are his quarterback rankings look like? We'll ask him those questions at 6 o'clock today on Grant and Danny. Netflix last year had the show we all loved, Quarterback. They announced today what their plan is for this year's NFL programming dropping this summer. We got the details next on The Fan. We're Grant and Danny. Netflix today made the announcement that their 2024 installment of NFL coverage to follow up last year's hit show, Quarterback, is going to be called Receiver. So here's what we're working with, Danny. People remember last year's show that followed Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and, interestingly enough, Marcus Mariota.
Oh.
Now with the Commanders. So if you want to learn more about Mariota and his family life and what he does to get ready for games, you can watch that show, and I think you'll get closer to him than any coverage that's been out there at any point. But last year's show dropped in the summer before the season, which means it was not from the 2023 campaign, but 2022. So you're going back 2 years ago. What it seems like to me is they tried to get quarterbacks to do this again, and they didn't want to.
And nobody wanted to.
They didn't want the constant access, Netflix in their homes, interviewing them or their wives or following around, you know, their drop off to their kids' school. I'd read somewhere at one point Matt Stafford said yes, but otherwise they could not get anyone to agree to this. I asked Kirk about this at one point last year. I was like, were you nervous about doing it or what was the deal? And he's like, well, we had a bunch of meetings. He's like, I thought about not doing it. I guess someone in his marketing team, I think, is the same guy that Peyton Manning uses. And this was an Omaha production, which is essentially why I think part of the reason why Cousins agreed to do it, but also maybe why he was on their radar.
Mm-hmm.
They knew he was like the dad quarterback and he's a good character and has character and is like a family guy and all that stuff. So he was interesting to them. But I think him having ins and ties with Omaha Productions made him more comfortable
there
doing it, because they were able to say, listen, man, it's not going to be obtrusive. We're not going to ruin your prep. But he had them along for pretty much everything. He's getting massages in his living room from some random old lady in his neighborhood.
Yeah, like the couple that comes over and like cracks him a couple times.
There's like some 60-year-old guy.
I remember seeing Joe Burrow. Maybe it agreed, but I think he got hurt. That kind of ruined it or something. Does that sound familiar or no?
I don't remember. Could be.
Yeah.
I know we heard a lot more guys that came out publicly and were like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
But anyway, receiver.
Receiver. So here's where we're at. From the creators of quarterback, receiver is coming later this year. It's going to drop in July. I think there's probably going to be like an episode of each guy this time, if I had to guess, because the list is Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's those five. There's eight episodes. So maybe, you know, there's a few episodes with all the guys or whatever, but they're going to have eight episodes in July. The show's receiver. I don't know if this is going to be the same as quarterback where there were just the three guys. So maybe not the same depth, but I'm excited. They got great personalities, right? Kittle is a rock star and a big bubbly guy. Amon-Ra St. Brown's awesome for people that don't know or didn't watch Hard Knocks. I mean, this is a guy who's memorized every of the 16 receivers that went in front of him and great talker, does his own podcast, just like hilariously funny and personable. I don't know a ton about Deebo Samuel, so I'm actually interested about that. He's pretty good on social media, but I don't know a lot about his life. Jefferson is the greatest receiver in the league. Young, up-and-coming, electric talent, about to get paid. And Devontae Adams has been one of the best for a long, 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 long time. He's, for what I can figure, a fairly quiet guy, so that'll be interesting. But receiver, man, we're back.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. I was worried this would just go by the wayside. And I like the idea. If you can't get the quarterback, that's fine. Let's get the on an island, independent working, you know, diva reputation, but probably more complicated than that type player. And they got some really good ones. The thing I'm amazed by, it's not like, you know, respectfully, they didn't go get Josh Reynolds to do it. You know, it's like some of the leaders, the first and second round fantasy picks, for goodness sakes, on this thing. That's what's awesome about it, is the star power that's
good
like,
point.
Yep, bring me in.
That's actually a great point, because if you do quarterbacks and the guys that said, yes, I mean, Stafford, if he was going to be in, would have been a big name. But if it was like Mayfield and Goff, I'm just kidding, Ryan. But, you know, if it was a bunch of back-tier, like actual back-tier starters.
Josh Dobbs and Desmond Ridder said yes. Cool. Thank you for saying yes.
Right. Still would have been a great TV show.
I'd watch it, but okay.
But these are the best receivers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You and I joked that they should do another one of these every year. Three-point shooter. Starting pitcher. But guess what?
Do one every year.
It's not a joke anymore.
Please bring them.
They went receiver. Next go running back. Then go tight end, then go edge.
Dude, you don't want to see like an offensive lineman story where like he's getting, you know, knots out of him with like giant massage guns, like jackhammers every Monday because he's been in a trench war for 80 plays.
How many positions are there? The possibilities
Bring
are
them.
Limitless. I would watch a full season called Kicker. Now that might test your boundaries.
That's a bit much.
But I would love that.
I could watch a
three episode
mini arc on the long snapper. Not a full season, but like, you know,
first episode will be the scene where he gets traded up for.
Mm.
That's how you start that. Long snapper is an important position.
It really is. Okay.
Just ask the 2022 Washington Commander.
A thing.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's talk draft with Eric Edholm of NFL Network next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.